in Randolph County and from miles around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ram Sparta means WHCO.
Car folks on the go, it's 1230. Oh.
That's WHBO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know. You're welcome on WHCO, Randolph County Radio.
From Rio Country, 1230. And 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning, 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope you're having a good day. Going to be talking today with Congressman Mike Bost. Congressman Bost, how are you doing today?
I'm great, Jeff. How are you?
Not too bad.
We got a great day today. A little bit windy, but it's sure nice outside.
Definitely. So I know current administration keeps giving us all kinds of stuff and not good things to talk about, but.
One thing that's out there right now is if anyone's been to D.C., obviously everyone understands I go pretty well every week, and they have blocked off the area between the Capitol and the Supreme Court because of the protests and everything like that over the ruling that's probably coming out on Roe versus Wade very, very soon. Everyone on your listening audience, and I guarantee everyone throughout my district, if not throughout the United States, knows where I'm at on this issue. I'm pro-life. I've been proudly pro-life all of my life. It's not a thing of politics, it's a thing of faith. Mm-hmm. You know, Bible Supreme Court drafting opinions from what we're hearing is it is the right direction to go, turn it back over to the states. Unfortunately, we have a state that I don't think is going to handle it correctly. Matter of fact, the big fear I'm having is that because of the states around us do have it correctly, that the state of Illinois will become where they will come to have their abortions, and their sad reality is the way that our rules, our laws are written in the state of Illinois, as taxpayers will pay for it. That's a real problem. But it would empower the people themselves, though. Each state would have the power to, if they didn't have a state legislature that handles that issue directly on the way that they believe it should handle it, they can get rid of their state legislators and actually replace them with people who will vote right, put the right laws in place.
Right.
With that said, what I'm concerned about is the confidential draft that was leaked out in the first place that caused such a scandal. You know, I feel that it's an attempt, I believe, to intimidate the justices into changing their decision, and this is exactly what our founding fathers said that could not happen. You have freedom of speech, but you cannot try to influence a judge in a case, whether it's in a case like this or a case in a legal case or anything. The judges are supposed to be above reproach, and no one should be able to try to pressure or bribe or put pressure on them in any way, shape, or form, threatening them by going to their houses or whatever. So what this caused this, and we don't know it for sure, but most of us believe that, you know, Democrat abortion activists, they're the ones that somehow got someone inside the court to leak this out to try to drive this issue. That being said, what really is bad now is those same activists that are trying to codify abortion at the federal level. You know, last week, Leader Schumer over in the Senate tried to pass a bill to stop states from imposing limitations on abortions. Now, that bill was in the House earlier last fall, or it was actually last fall, and I voted against that bill. Now, the bill has failed to pass in the Senate because all the Republicans and Manchin voted no on it. But now there's a group over there trying to call for the, once again, for this issue to end the filibuster on this issue to try to move it forward. But we have to actually make some investigation on who leaked and who allowed that to happen over in the Supreme Court, because I'm going to tell you that cannot happen. The courts are not supposed to operate that way, and the trust of the clerk at the courts has to be above all else. You can't allow the politics to be played like that. So it's
right.
A bad situation, but it is a good situation, I think, on their ruling.
And I agree with you on that. And like I said, you know, I mean, it needs to be fully investigated on this because, you know, things like that cannot get started. No matter which side of the issue you're on, you know, you've got to be on the fact that we cannot allow things to be leaked out like that.
No, and the uniqueness of our system is the three branches of government, but the judicial branch, whether you are a new law student, a basic studier of the Constitution, or a long-time, even Supreme Court justice, you understand the importance of the integrity of those jobs, and for someone to do that, that's why it's got to be the full investigation. You can't have that. And it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. If they separate themselves from the issue, they would all agree on that.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. We got a break here. Let's go ahead and get that in.
Okay.
We'll come back and talk some more with Congressman Mike Bost here on The People Speak. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. This is The People Speak. I'm Jeff. And again, we're talking with Congressman Mike Bost. And we're talking about the leak in the Supreme Court on the issue of the Roe versus Wade agreement. I mean, that's one of the big things in the news, but several other things. The one that just kind of popped up here all of a sudden, I mean, it hasn't been something that just popped up. It's been an issue for a while, but really hitting the news lately is the baby formula shortage.
Yeah, you know, the Biden's FDA has known about the baby formula problem for several months. We found out while we were doing our investigation. But it waited until the shelves were empty before they all of a sudden say, oh, well, we've got a problem. And see, that's the problem with Biden and a lot of this stuff. His oversight is almost nil, and he hides the problem rather than dealing with it head on. But yesterday, he invited President Biden invoked the Defense Protection Act to increase manufacturing. But it should have never come to this. It actually should have been something that you saw coming. We had to figure it out. But that's just the way they continued to do things. They sat on their hands on real issues, and they all of a sudden dabble into things that the people don't want them to dabble in. And if they do dabble in them, it's just amazing to me. But anyway, the House stepped up on Wednesday. You know, we made it easier for most industries that are in the baby formula business through WIC to try to generate and encourage them to get back in and start producing it at a higher speed. But the thing is, it's going to take several weeks, if not months, to get ourselves back supplied. And that's a danger to small children that are dependent on baby formula that has to be specially made specifically to their health needs. And we've seen several hospitalizations around the nation because of it. But like I said, it should have been handled early on, and we shouldn't have got to this point.
Exactly. I mean, you look at the shelves and stuff, and my grandkids and stuff recently, I go in and buy some. I mean, all the different formulas of it out there. I mean, and each child, you know, different children need different nutrients and different things in their little, you know, extras and that.
Right, and what, you know, many people don't do, well, anybody that's raised children do understand that some of these children have allergies, so you have to have specific formula. I tell you what, I was in D.C. The other day in a CVS, and a mother was almost just crying because she had been everywhere trying to find a specific formula that just wasn't there. Mm. I mean, and this is happening all across the nation.
Right. Another thing, talking about President Biden, is Disinformation Governance Board.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, the administration themselves created this Disinformation Governance Board under the Department of Homeland Security. Now, 174 of my colleagues and I wrote a letter to the administration on the constitutionality of the board. First off, it's free speech. Who gets to judge what's truth, what's not? I mean, we can all do that on our own. But what's really funny is after, once again, Biden administration going down a path that what I was talking about a while ago, they're dabbling in things that they shouldn't be dabbling in, but not doing the things they're supposed to be doing. Yesterday, the board was sidelined, and its executive, you know, its executive who by the way, is head, has actually spread this information over the last couple of years to a level you don't understand. She resigned. Of course, the administration can't even defend the board. They're claiming that the disinformation is what caused the information board to be shut down. That makes no sense. Let me say again what it was that they claimed yesterday. The administration claimed that the disinformation is what caused the disinformation board to be shut down. So you can't make this stuff up, yeah? You know, it is a win for free speech, okay? Just mm-hmm. so you know. But you know, DHS should never be used as a political tool and go under the guise of security to all of a sudden try. Russia does that stuff. Other countries that have dictators do this type stuff. Folks, this is very scary when an administration, because they don't agree with you, will do everything they can to use our government, whether it's the FBI, whether it's the Homeland Security, whatever it is, as tools to attack the American people. That's not why they were established. That's not why they're there. They're for our security and for our benefit and for we the people to use these agencies to do their job, not to attack us as individuals and aggressively come after our free speech. You know, and this is happening quite a bit. One thing that I'm working on out there, Jeff, that I don't know if you know this or not. I think I've talked to you to your listeners about this before, but and especially whenever I become chairman of the VA committee, we will be dealing with this. But we had a roundtable with the Veterans Service Organization, the American Legion, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, all the different veterans organizations or several of them were representing at the table. But we had a roundtable hearing with the Republican members of the VA committee on this issue. Back when the Brady Bill was passed, if you'll remember, after Ronald Reagan was shot and Brady was hit, and was definitely, you know, he was hit in the head and was wounded and affected his life forever, his wife pushed for gun legislation. Well, in that gun legislation, through the ATF, the VA decided that how they read, and the ATF confirmed that was how it should be read, even though I don't agree with them. Basically, if you are a veteran and you're seeking help from the VA and they discover that you can't handle your books, paperwork, or your accounts get out of balance, see, they can assign a fiduciary. That's someone who actually handles your accounts. If you're assigned a fiduciary to the VA, the VA then automatically turns your information over to NICS, which is which basically requires the FBI and the other agencies will remove your Second Amendment right. Now let me explain that again. Just by simply getting help from the VA on your paperwork and they assign the fiduciary, you automatically lose your Second Amendment rights. It is unconstitutional, but they've been doing it for years. When we confronted them about it, they said, well, they got the interpretation of the law from the ATF. Well, we're going to be working on making sure that, now understand this, no one else in the United States, except these veterans, can have their amendment or their Second Amendment right removed without due process.
Mm-hmm.
There's no judge, okay? If you are not a veteran and you're not, or you're a veteran not using the VA, and your family member or someone else says, you know what, I believe they're a danger to themselves or others because of some mental issues, then you have to go through the court. The court has to look the situation over, and a judge makes the decision whether or not you should have your Second Amendment right removed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's due process. Our veterans don't get due process. a government agency all of a sudden just decides, oh no, since we're taking care of your books and everything like that, we're going to also take away your guns.
Hmm.
Now, these are the people that fought to keep those rights. Now, if someone is a danger to themselves and others, then yes, there's a process. Now, here's the thing. Last year, there were over 20,000 veterans nationwide, because we got those numbers, 20,000 veterans nationwide that were assigned a fiduciary and lost that Second Amendment right. Now, some of them never complained because they didn't ever use it anyway. You know, they weren't hunters, and they didn't have guns. They just didn't think much about it because they didn't realize they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Of those 20,000, and from those 20,000, those people that appealed, only 5 were able to use an appeal process to get their guns back. It's a real big issue. It is, once again, what I said, the agencies being used against the American people in ways that they should not be used, and we're going to get that stopped as soon as we take the majority, that's for sure.
Right, right. I'll tell you what, we got another quick break here. We'll go ahead and throw that in.
Okay.
We'll come back and talk some more with Congressman Mike Boss here on The People Speak right after this. Welcome back. A little time left here in the program today, talking with Congressman Mike Bost. And, Mike, while we were talking about disinformation, it reminded me of something I saw here a while back that said, wait until the conspiracy theorists discover they're part of a conspiracy to use conspiracy theorists to spread disinformation via conspiracy theories. Kind of the same thing there.
Yeah. It's got the point. They're just chasing rabbits now, and it's almost, if it wasn't so sad, it would be hilarious.
Exactly.
Because it really is affecting people's lives, and you know, we've got to make sure that, look, free speech is allowed. We've got to make sure that we maintain and make sure that everything we do protects our Constitution. Remember, you and I have talked about this, we are not a democracy, we are a constitutional republic. Which means that the anchor that you hold to is the Constitution. That includes all of, whether you like them or not, all the amendments of the Constitution. You know, we have our people that hate guns around this nation. And we have those people that maybe don't like it if we disagree with them. But if I disagree with you, it doesn't make me a bad person. It makes me a person that thinks and allows and uses my right under the Constitution. Now, that doesn't mean we should have the problems that we're having around this nation where people are going out and actually destroying property and or hurting other people and claiming that's free speech. That's not free speech. Free speech is the ability to be in the public square, to express your opinion, to be open on conversation on how you feel, and not to be prosecuted and or locked up and or stifled in some way with your ability to express how you feel on issues. And what you see as the things that need to be brought up out there. So it is vitally important to protect it, and creating a government agency in any way, shape, or form to block that is totally against our Constitution.
Right. Another thing in the news here that I see you've been talking about is an effort to modernize the VA home loan program.
Yeah. We actually passed a bill out of the House this week to basically modernize and make the home loan, the VA home loan, easier. Because here's the problem we have with it right now, and we're gonna be working on this in great detail over the next couple of years for sure. But hopefully within the end of the year as well. Besides the bill that we put out there just recently to modify it a little bit. What the problem is that sometimes buyers. That are trying to use the VA home loan, because the procedure is so difficult, that banks also that banks that have to secure those loans, as well as realtors, and quite often the seller says it's such a hassle. If I get another offer from somebody that isn't trying to use the VA home loan, I'm going to go ahead and go to them because they don't want to deal with all the paperwork and all the questions and all the things that come up with the VA home loan. We don't want that. We want the opportunity for veterans to make sure that they have the opportunity to use those home loans in a way that is quick, efficient, safe. I mean, you know, we're not going to allow someone to to defraud somebody or go into debt deeper than they actually can or what they can afford, but truly making it a loan that is accessible, affordable, and everything that we can provide for our veterans, that track that they, you know, remember, the VA loan, home loans actually started coming out in the early 1940s, actually right after, actually it was during the Second World War, for benefits for our veterans and those who have served. And that, so we want to make sure that that is modified in a way that it is easily handled and competitive with any other loan.
Right.
That's the best way to describe it.
Right. So, a few minutes left here, but one thing, I guess, and it's on everyone's minds and stuff, I mean, it's hard not to with the cost of it, is gasoline prices.
Yeah, right now, you know, this week we the gas prices topped over $4 in gallon in all 50 states for the first time ever. Let me say it again. For the first time ever have they been this high. The average price in Illinois is about $4.91. And as a result, the Biden, you know, this is all caused and can be changed very quickly if we would simply go back to the policies of the previous administration, making sure that we're drilling everywhere we can drill, give access to, encourage to. There's three things that are affecting, you know. One is the fact that our pipeline and all of that, bad policies there. That by itself would not cause the gas prices, but it added to. The other issues out there is that because of this administration's pulling back and or not offering permits for drilling, the three major companies and investors, because that's what it is, it's market investors, there are three major companies. All of them see the fact that their investment, they could lose their investment by the fact that the government is acting the way it is towards fossil fuels, and so they're not making the investment as well as not being able to drill because they're not getting a permit. So it's all of those factors, but all of those are poor policies by this administration that could be reversed. And if they are reversed, you would see, not overnight, but you would definitely see within the same amount of time it took to get these prices high, those fuel prices would go down just as fast. Now, understand that there's a thing going on with around this nation with certain providers to try to prove this point, and I don't know whether it's going to happen in my district. I think it's going to happen in my district here shortly. They're going to pick out a gas station, and they'll charge for like a day what the gas prices are or were during the Trump administration. They're going to do that, and then for a day, and the gas lines will be long, but it will send a message to the people throughout the news media and everything like that. This is where we could be. Unfortunately, we're not.
Right. Right. And you know, I mean, I've heard that they said, okay, well, we'll approve some of these leases and stuff now that had been held up. But with the Biden administration's stance on it, I mean, I can see where a lot of these companies are going to, like, you know, yeah, that sounds like a feather out there, but I'm not going to take it because the minute I get it, then they're going to pull it out from under me.
Right, exactly. And that's where those, like I said, believe me, since this is happening, that's why my staff and I have been doing, and Congress as a whole, we've been studying the issue. And like I said, it's these three particular companies that they were the major investors, and they're just not making the investment now because they don't trust this administration.
Right. Right. Well, Congressman, it looks like we're out of time, but I appreciate you taking time to talk with us.
Jeff, thank you for having us on. Look forward to next month, and everybody have a great, be great and safe time out there as it's beautiful weather.
Exactly. You too.
All right. Thank you.
For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. Have a great day.